Morning, church. It's a privilege for me to be with you today and to worship together. I think it's a wonderful time that we can be together and worship. And if I have to be honest with you, this series we're doing, the parables of Christ, and we're talking about the parables of Christ every Sabbath, are wonderful because there is so much in depth knowledge in each one of the parables. As you probably already know, today it's going to be we're going to talk about the growing seed, parable of the growing seed. It's a very interesting parable, and first of all, I'd like to turn your attention to the seed. Now, in the Bible, what we describe as seed, what do you think? What is the seed? The Word of God, isn't it? So the seed is the symbol of the Word of God. That's the gospel. That's the good news, isn't it? The good news of salvation through Christ. So, yes, the seed is the Word of God. That can be the Word of God. We as Christians spreading the Word of God, but sometimes it's the Word of God working in our hearts as well, isn't it? So, as I like to say, many people think that when Christians are going out and preaching to other people, that yes, they preach to other people, but they preach to themselves as well. The power of the Word of God is not only changing people's lives, but it's changing our life. And it's transforming our heart, it's transforming our mind as well. So, in this parable, in the book of Mark, the way how it's described, you see that there is one significant element in that parable. When we go to chapter 4 and verse 26, now we see Jesus again is giving an example that the kingdom of God is as a man scatters seed on the ground, and he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and himself does not know how. Now, I like how Jesus is saying that story again, and saying, we don't know how it's happening. But there is one very important element in that parable, and this is time. Now, those of you who ever try, I know that here in UK it's quite popular, gardening is very popular. Should I say sport? It's not a sport, isn't it? It's a hobby. It's a very, very popular thing. And when you scatter a seed, it takes time until that seed actually produces a plant. It doesn't happen straight away. In many cases, you need to, you need to make sure you planting it in the right time. The soil should be prepared properly. Sometimes people use different chemicals and stuff. There is different types of soil for different types of plants. I used to have cactuses, and I was surprised to find out that actually there is a chemical which is working really well on cactuses, and that's basically a chemical which is used for tomatoes. So it's working really well, and it's helping them to grow quicker and to become bigger with bigger thorns and nicer, which is interesting. But it's different soil for different plants. There is a requirement for different types of even watering, and different, some plants need more water, some plants need less. So, but there is one common thing between all plants, and that's it takes time. When you plant a seed, it takes time until that seed produced actually a plant and bear fruit. Now, one of the biggest problem in our lives as Christians, many times the Word of God is working in our hearts, but we are not patient enough. How many times you experience this? I experienced many times in my life. You pray for something and you're hoping that we want to pray and we want the answer straight away, if it's possible in 24 hours. We pray for something and we're expecting results immediately in our life. This is happening also when we pray for somebody. How many of you pray for colleague, friend, or somebody from your family, and you pray for him for a personal problem or for him to accept Christ and come in the church. And for years, we don't see any results. It seems to us that we pray, but there is no results. It seems to us that we pray, but we don't see anything happening around us. And I know personally, and I experienced this personally many years ago when I was a kid. My parents have a very close friends, close family friends, and I was playing with their children, and they were my friends. And the husband of that family was not part of the church. He was the most wonderful person you can imagine, absolutely great guy. And he was helping the church. He was participating in every single one of the events. Wonderful gentleman. But he just, I don't know what's the reason why, but he was not baptized. He was coming to church. He was very close to the church. His wife was a part of the church and his children. But he didn't want to baptize. He didn't want to become a member of the church. And I remember my parents talking about that sometimes, and they said, well, why he doesn't want to do it? You know, he's coming for the church for years and years and years. He's on every single one event. And there was a specific time, I don't know what happened, we moved down, we didn't live anymore in that town. And I remember one day my parents told me, you know what happened? So-and-so, for that gentleman, he took decision and he was baptized and he became a member of the church. And that was a wonderful occasion for us, and we were really happy about him. And that guy, he was baptized, he became a member of the church, and unfortunately, a year or two later, as far as I remember, not very long time, it might be not 2 years, might be a little bit longer, but not very long time, he died. He had a serious disease and eventually he died. And that story was it was terrible for all of us because it was a close friend to us. But I remember that story, and I always keep it in my mind and I say, look, it takes time, and God knows when is the time for somebody to accept, to change his life and to take that decision. And God is outside of the time. He can see the beginning from he can see the end from the beginning and see everything. Now, many times we are impatient, we want results now, and we're asking ourselves why, if something is not happening, why is not happening? And when we don't see results straight away, we are discouraged quickly. So this is a second problem we have many times when we're preaching the gospel to other people. We don't see results quickly, we're discouraged quickly. It's the same thing in our lives. How many of you prayed for something in your personal life, like a personal problem, some failure in your life, something you have problem with, and you want to change it, and you can't change it, and you something you struggle with, and every time when, if that's a sin or if that's some kind of a weakness, every time when you do it again, or every time you do something which obviously you're trying to change in your life, this is discouraging you more and more. And you start asking yourself, why I can't do it? Why I can't change myself? Another major problem as well is when we don't take care for the word of God and we don't water the plant. Now, sometimes we come to the church and we think like, yeah, I go to church every Saturday, I read the Bible, I'm okay. But it takes time, and it's very important for us to not only come to church and participate in the church, but to actively study the Bible. And when we study the Bible for ourselves, not because we have to do it, but we study for ourselves to find the answers we seek, this is transforming our heart. It's changing our mind. And this is the type of watering we need if we are a plant. And that's the kind of food you give to a plant. You give him a water, you give him certain things. You don't just plant it and forget about it. Now, I'd like to turn your attention to Book of Mark chapter 4 and verse 20. Jesus here is saying something very important as well. which is extremely important for the seed or the word of God. In chapter 4 and verse 20 he's saying, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So there is a requirement for the seed. As I said in the beginning, there should be a good ground. We cannot expect to preach the gospel and to have always success. It's very important, the ground, to be good, to be prepared well, so when we preach the gospel, people accept it. Jesus clearly explaining what is needed. And if you read the whole parable in Mark chapter 4, you can see that the ground is one of the main components, an open heart to hear the gospel. It takes time even for the open heart to hear hears the gospel, but it takes time for everyone to accept the gospel and to assimilate and understand the gospel as well. In book of Isaiah, if we go to book of Isaiah in chapter 28, he talks about us assimilating the word of God and how that takes time. Now, in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9 to 11, whom he will teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, here, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to these people. Now, I like the way how it's explained here. Here a little, there a little. Sometimes we have this belief that if you come to the church and if you have to ask yourself, and if you go back in your life and say, where exactly I heard about the gospel of Christ? Is there one person who influenced you to become a Christian? Many people will say, yes, this person, he sold me a book. I read the book, I came into the church. Some other people will say, well, I went to the evangelistic series and I heard that pastor to speak, and that really moved my heart and I became a Christian after that. This is all true, guys. Yes, there is certain people in our lives which really influenced us and change our mindset and lead us to the gospel. But as Isaiah is saying, here a little, there a little, a lot of different factors are taking place for us to be influenced. It's not only one or two people. Many times God is preparing us through our whole lives, the exact events, the exact moments to happen in front of our lives, so we can prepare ourselves and we can actually accept Christ and come to the church. Like I gave this story with my friend. He listened a million sermons before he was baptized, and he still didn't baptize. And eventually he baptized literally in the end of his life, but he still made the decision. One of the biggest problems of many Christians as well today are that it's very important when we hear the word, not twisting it and not trying to change and taking verses out of the context. Many times we hear people start taking text from the Bible and verses out of the context and changing it and making a whole doctrine out of it, which is very dangerous. So this is why it's so important to take time to study the word, and when we study the word, to take time to transform our lives in the right way. Now, another very important aspect is the good heart and to keep the gospel. Now, in book of Luke chapter 8, again for the same story but in a different gospel, in book of Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, but the ones that fell on the ground on a good ground are those who have in heart, but the ones that fell on a good ground are those who have, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, kept it and bear fruit with patience. Now, I like to emphasize on that word, kept the word, that expression, kept it. When you hear the gospel and when your heart is moved, you need to keep it for yourself. Yes, you need to teach it to other people, but also you need to keep it. Too many people today, and I personally experienced it, they hear it, they start questioning them themselves, and they don't want to believe. They straight away having a defensive attitude towards the gospel. It's like, oh, this is just a fairy tale. Oh, that's not the way it is. Oh, look, the world. They don't want to listen and just stop thinking about everything else and just to listen and concentrate on the word. You need to keep the gospel if you want the gospel to change your life. You keep it for your heart and to hold it as a treasure. Now, if I take that glass of water here, for example, the only way that glass of water will be taken by me if somebody take it from me, or if somebody snap it, or if I drop it. But if I hold it really well and I squeeze it, nobody gonna take it from me, isn't it? But Satan will try every single possible way, every single possible opportunity. He's going to use it against us, against you, to distort the word of God in one or another way. He is using, and one of his most successful weapons is when we start doubting in the success of our prayer and of the success of our praying. We pray for a problem, we pray for our health, or we pray for somebody, we don't see the results straight away, and you just listen to that little voice here in your mind. Look, you're praying, you're wasting your time. Nothing is happening. You're praying, you know, you're still making the same mistakes every single day. Nothing is happening. It's just pointless. Why are you wasting your time to go to church? I heard this voice as well. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't hear voices, but you know what I mean. But it is a dangerous thing, and discouragement comes in the life of every Christian, and we need to ignore these things because they are very powerful. And personally, I've been many times discouraged in my life, and it feels terrible, and it's holding you back in many ways. Now, to keep the gospel also means not letting it go. Too many times we see people who are really excited about the gospel. They come to church, they join the church, and eventually something happens in their life, or somebody said something to them, and they say, and they are affected from this, and they just drop out from the church, and they say, this is not for me. You know, this is too hard of a teaching for me. Now, in a way, you need to desire salvation, and you need to desire for yourself. You need to desire for everybody else as well. We need to preach the gospel, but always be focused on Christ. You don't come to church for other people. No one else have heaven and hell for you. No one else have salvation for you. And you shouldn't care what other people think or what other people say about you, or what are your family saying about you, what your friends. You should care for yourself. And if something is touching your heart, hold it and don't drop it, because that might be your time to take a decision for Christ, because it's so important. If we're too much affected by people's opinion, by our family's opinion, by our relatives, what they're going to say if they see me, I'm going to church every Saturday. Well, as I said, your salvation is more important and from people's opinions. People's opinions are not going to save you, and they can have a lot of opinions about you, but in the end, it's a matter of what kind of decision you made for Christ. Did you make the decision for Christ? There'll be the time one day when Christ returns and we'll be asked, what have we done with Christ? Have we committed ourselves? And excuses like, well, I didn't do it because it was inconvenient, because I couldn't change my job, because my best friend told me that this is not the right time. I heard so many times people saying, It's not the right time for me to come to church now. Probably in the future. Well, you might not have the future. So it's so important when you hear it, to do it and take it. When God guarantees harvest, that's guaranteed. In the parable of the growing seed, we see the sower is going, he's scattering the seed, and God guaranteed that there will be a harvest. We don't know how this harvest is going to happen. We don't know all the processes which are happening in the plant, the nutrition of the plant, the soil, the climate, and all these important things which are so important. But it still happens. Even today in this broken world, I would say broken world because it's really broken, not only the world, but in this broken nature we have, we see everything is running, animals, forests, deserts. I like watching a lot of different documentaries about different animals, and it's just astonishing how it's like somebody, we know who, program every single thing to work on itself and everything is happening. I watch astonishing programs about sea life, and it's just amazing to see those things. And even in this broken world, after our what we've done to this world with our pollution and with destruction of rainforests and so many other beautiful places, the nature is still running because God is controlling it. And we don't understand every single thing in the nature. There is still, I heard somewhere that there is new species discovered every single day, which I'm not 100% sure truly is it every single day or every single year, but it's astonishing. And if the nature is controlled by God, what about our hearts? We are more important, and Jesus made that comparison. We are so much important for Him than the nature. And if He guarantees harvest, and if He guarantees that, yes, you just need to do what you're supposed to do. You need to persevere and go through your problem, whatever your problem is. Do what you're supposed to do, and you're going to have harvest. You're going to have results. The time between planting the seed and reaping the harvest is the time where we need to prepare. Yes, it takes time, but this is the important time where we need to prepare our hearts and prepare ourselves for this glorious harvest one day. Because if we don't prepare ourselves and we waste our time to prepare, we go away from the way of Christ, and if we constantly doubting and changing our opinion and mind, this will destroy ourselves, this will destroy our faith, we will destroy ourselves. So this is why it's so important to keep our faith and transform our life. Now, if you turn your Bibles with me in Book of James in chapter 5 and verses 7 to 8. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Ye also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. As James says, we need to be patient and to persevere. Now, when Christ planted that seed in our heart, we need to take care for it and do what we're supposed to do. And one day we will have the results. Now, to close this message today, my question to you today is, are we patient to see the results in our life? Are we patient to see results in other people's lives? And are we taking the right steps? And are we doing what we're supposed to do to take care for the gospel in our hearts, for that seed, so we will see that harvest one day? Amen.
Mustard seed in a man's head, it's buried straight into the light. that tiny mustard seed, it grows and grows and becomes a tree. That's what Jesus said to help us understand. When it's planted, it is the smallest. When it grows, it becomes the tallest. From that tiny mustard seed, it grows and grows and becomes a tree. That's what Jesus said to help us understand. Then the kingdom of heaven is just like this. To spread our love, it is God's wish. And just like this, we become the tallest tree. Even though we may be the smallest seed, into the branches all the birds will come, sing and build their nests for their young ones. Just like that tiny mustard seed that grows and grows and becomes a tree, our love can grow and carry everyone. And the kingdom of heaven is just like this, to spread our